A tent of griffin cloth need not blemish the landscape, and a cop in griffin cloth need not fear being shot on the approach. But these wondersmiths would not leave it at that. Utopian coats are dream visions, created by covering a long trench coat with griffin cloth and programming the computer to process the real image before projecting it, substituting gold for gray, marble for brick, fish for birds, whatever the utopian imagines. Of the pair who stood before me in the alley, one's coat showed a city of tomorrow built in space, so the palace behind us floated in a star sea. The plants fitted with oxygen collectors, and the cars with solar sails like flying fish. The other coat showed the palace as a ruin, overgrown by swamp, the same stones aged 1,000 years, with fantastic creatures sunning themselves on the wreck, like dragons of the Middle Ages. The oddest pieces of 12 beasts assembled into one furred, scaled, and feathered alien. The coats are not mere games, nor decoration, like the Mitsubishi cloth which blooms and fades with the aesthetic progress of the seasons. Utopia means nowhere. So all utopians drape themselves in their most precious nowheres. Thank you for letting them go peacefully. I nodded toward the retreating drunks. The coat of ruins shrugged. We're used to it. You may not believe me, but I wept. The Anonymous calls these crimes of stupidity. People drunk on rage, power, or chemicals, who realize when sober just how much their fleeting folly threw away. I think of them more as crimes of the stifled predator. For nature built her greatest ape to hunt as well as gather. And if a zoo lion goes mad eating only vat-grown steak, then so can you. Servicers are common targets. That I can forgive. Even when the victims are young friends who crawl back to the dorms and spend nights shaking in my arms, I can forgive, for servicers are guilty. What penance, though, must this tainted world perform to purge this instinct to attack utopians, whose only crime is thinking too much of tomorrow? We heard you were here, Mycroft. Which alpha called you? Though the voice was brave, the speaker drew her coat of stars tightly about herself, and even the digital blackness could not hide her shivers. Her name is Aldrin Bester, a fine utopian name, lifted from their canon, as in the olden days Europe took its names from lists of saints. The Duke de la Tremouille called me, I answered, lapsing in my distraction from Ganymede's public name to his proper one, which few non-Frenchmen use. The 6 hive leaders are all at the party. What shall I inform of your arrival? We're not here for the alphas. We're here for you. The second utopian in his coat of ruins was taller than Aldrin, his short hair French brown to her eastern black. He bears the honorable name Voltaire Selden. The patriarch deserves to be honored for 100 reasons, but he owes his elevation to the utopian canon to the novella Micromégas, which makes him a candidate for the title of world's first science fiction author. Martin called us about these break-ins, Black Sakura and Sanir Weeksbooth. We have questions, and I expect you to use none of the glamours you use on Centrix. No deceptions, I promised, translating their utopian slang. Never with you. Voltaire's face switched for a moment from the sternness of business to a more personal sternness. Have you been using your days well, Mycroft? I've been trying. Chair Cosella has me drafting a proposal for improving the servicer program, and the Emperor had me teach a private seminar for their lictors on the history of violence. Are you writing? I looked at my feet. I haven't had time. I've had a lot of assignments lately, and I'm only allowed anti-sleeps 2 a week. Voltaire frowned. Those are common excuses. You don't get to use common excuses. I know. I'm sorry. I'll do more. Do less, Aldrin cut in. I know you. You're filling your hours with nano-charities and calling it productivity. Do less and you'll output more. Yes, I confessed. You're right. I'll do better. Good. The illusion of her eyes seemed sad, but even I cannot trust the expressions on a utopian's transparent-seeming visor. The lenses the rest of us wear display our tracked data perfectly, so in theory there is no need for the heavy visors utopians prefer, which cover the face from brows to cheekbones so their eyes never see true sun. Rumor insists that utopians only wear the visors to deceive us. The griffin cloth surfaces make them seem transparent, so projected eyes meet ours and seem to smile and squint as real eyes do. But if the coats can transform day to night or earth to stars, surely the visors can replace their true expressions with what they want us to see. Shall we move inside? I gestured to the door behind me. There's an empty storeroom nearby. I let them enter first, so I, selfish creature, could delight in the coats which filled the hall before me with their fantasies. In Voltaire's Nowhere, the palace walls teemed with cracks, and the cracks with tiny lizard ants whose micro-civilization assembled the crumbs of marble into knee-high palaces. In Aldrin's Nowhere, the floor became a shimmering force field between us and empty space, on whose translucence I could see Voltaire striding beyond her, fitted with a spacesuit, solar panels folded at his sides like veil-light wings. Aldrin began the interrogation. Martin told us what you said about the trace shifter artifact. I sighed my gratitude that one hive, at least, did not say canner device. I haven't had a chance yet to start tracking down the people I bought the packaging from. The censor needed me today. Were they Japanese by nation strat? The question made me frown. I believe so. We spoke Japanese, but these were underground meetings. No one wore insignia. Aldrin nodded. We scanned the tracker records from the hours around this theft. The artifact's hex left afterpaths. We are beginning to map its movement. It makes tracker IDs jump from victim to victim as people pass close by each other. So yours might jump to mine, then mine to Voltaire's to another, bumping signal after signal, sometimes swapping back when people cross paths a second time, folding back on itself to make the threads harder to trace. The wielder can cast the hex kilometers from the target, then wait for the desired signal to drift out on the tide of exchanges. The effect entered the Sanir Weeksbooth Bosch house on a guest of Thisbe Sanir, then swapped the signals of everyone in the Bosch several times over, and Occam's signal traveled out on Cato Weeksbooth. From there, it was easy enough for the caster to acquire it. We are still combing the records to see how many trackers were affected. Hundreds. I nodded. And anyone affected is a suspect. No, anyone near anyone who is near anyone affected. More, Aldrin corrected. We found this chain by examining Occam Sanir. But if the caster also trace-shifted themselves separately, that will take us much more time to track. The chain we found is just the mask. Until we trace the effects more completely, no one on Earth has a true alibi, nor anyone in orbit. Cielo de Pajaros is close to the Esmeralda's elevator. Voltaire nodded, the visor showing me grim eyes. Meanwhile, we must hunt by motive, Mycroft. What motive do you smell? I flinched. There are too many. You told Martin that you believe occult powers within the Japanese Mitsubishi forged this artifact? I have no proof. You have instincts. Voice them. I took a deep breath. I think it was the Japanese Mitsubishi block originally. After news of the theft broke, when I was hunting for the thieves, everything I found, everyone involved, makers, smugglers, whatever the continent, they were always Japanese. It's hard to believe a criminal group wealthy enough to develop something so expensive would be that homogenous. And it didn't seem like something a criminal group would want to put together anyway. Why spend so much on research and development when you have veteran killers who drop their trackers for hits all the time? Not criminals, then, Aldrin confirmed. But why would the Mitsubishi Block forge such a super prosthesis? I smiled at her you-speak. Super prosthesis. So much more precise than tool for describing this thing designed to grant humans a superhuman skill. I don't know. The effect you describe, it's overkill for breaking into Black Sakura. That doesn't require juggling hundreds of trackers, it requires a good crowbar. Whoever did this wants us to be looking for the device, wants the panic and the witch hunt back. A pawing at the door made me jump, but it was only Aldrin's black unicorn, which had followed us up the hallway. It is strange calling it normal, watching this unicorn, as sprightly as a lamb and sleek as shadow, scamper to its partner's side. But with utopians among us, such happy wonders are common. It is easy, if you look it up, to learn which types of U-beasts are robots and which biological. But most of us prefer not to research how these fantastic pets are made. So, when we see a utopian pass by with a miniature pterodactyl on his shoulders, or a gold-plumed griffin trotting at her heels, uncertainty lets us imagine that the wonder might, like Bridger's Boo, be real. Aldrin offered her U-beast a welcoming stroke, then turned to me. Why did you seek the trace shifter artifact in the first place? Did Martin not tell you? We know what illusion you cast with the packaging, but why? Your work was done. You had no further need for deception. Lies rose by instinct in my throat. I fought them back. I didn't want my real methods exposed. I didn't expect to use them again myself, but I didn't want that door closed for others. Shame kept me from glancing up, for fear of the disapproval in their projected eyes. And also, I figured that if I had the packaging, whoever was responsible for the device would assume that more investigation might link my crimes to them. They'd have an incentive to hurry the trial along, and my methods would never be fully investigated. I dared to peek now at the pair. They seemed to gaze on one another through their visors, silenced by the darkness of their thoughts. Visor. Why is visor not spelled with a Z, reader? Surely an object so associated with futurism should contain one of the futurist letters, Z or X. It feels right to say visor, not visor. Laser, not laser. And did someone block the investigation of your methods?
Yes.
Director Ando? Voltaire leaned forward so I could see Aldrin through his coat for a moment, a winged, frog-like creature whose arteries glowed through its transparent flesh like streams of fireflies.
Yes.
The word caught in my throat. But Ando didn't order the creation of the device, I'm sure of that. My impression is that they were furious when they found out it existed. Their involvement has been damage control, trying to conceal the bad choices of predecessors and subordinates. If you place the device in Ando's hand right now, they would destroy it. As I answered, Aldrin had her unicorn extend a wing-like screen and began skimming through its data. Do you know the artifact's original purpose? Was it forged for one specific end?
I don't know.
Visors exchanged digital glances. Does Ando know?
I don't know if Ando knows. And I don't know if whoever is using the device now knows either.
I think the thief wants to topple Ando. Whatever the device was for, it's easy to make it seem like it was designed for theft and murder. If the Japanese strat seems to be responsible for my crimes, if they seem to have been plotting to use this device for some kind of espionage, it would drive them out of power in the Mitsubishi for a generation. More. And if Ando and Danae go down, they'll drag Ganymede with them. Aldrin flipped through more data on the wing screen. Do you know why the thief involved the Senir Weeksbooth Bosh?